Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 290, episode 1 of
The Daily Zeitgeist,
Day production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness, and it is Tuesday, June 6th, 2023.
Oh, yeah.
My name's Jack O'Brien.
Wait.
I'm thrilled to be
just gloss over the day, Jack.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
Come on, I almost forgot. It's National Yo-Yo Day. Wow. You freak. It's National Eyewear Day. It's World Pest Day. It's D-Day, quite literally June 6, 1944, land in Normandy. National Gardening Exercise Day. I don't know what that is. National Applesauce Cake Day and National Driving Movie Day. Applesauce Cake.
Eyewear Day on the day after, or is it the day that Apple introduces their big opaque eyewear?
May have just happened, yeah.
My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Potatoes O'Brien, and I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Hey, it's Miles Gray, a.k.a. Miles Morales, but the older Blasian one who's in his middle age, okay? Just saw the Spider-Man movie this weekend. It was fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. All right, Miles, we did it. We broke the damn format. For the first time in the history of the show, we are doing a new publication schedule. You are listening to the first full episode of the week on Tuesday. We've scaled back to a mere 8 episodes this week.
A meager 8 episodes.
We've scaled back to a meager 8 episodes, and we're trying some new episode formats, and this is one of them.
Yeah.
We're going to talk to some listeners today. Yeah. We're going to talk to an astrophysicist in that order.
Yep.
We're going from high to low. That's right.
Exactly.
Yeah. So basically, the idea is we, you know, spent 1,500-ish episodes talking to comedians.
Is it really 15
and
that long?
I think it's been that long. It's been a lot. But we've been talking to...
I'm sorry. Is it weird to you that it disturbs, or I find it weird that it's kind of disturbing that we've done that many episodes. I'm like, and Jack, we've done so many. I'm like, what? I feel like Uma Thurman in Kill Bill when she's like looking at like the lines on her hands to figure out how long she's been in a coma.
Right.
Seven years.
Yeah. And I also find it disturbing how hard it is for me to do this other format. I'm like, my brain is revolting.
Yo,
I'm like, where's the comedy guest?
Zeit Gang, let me tell y'all. This is like every human being. When you get used to doing things a certain way, it's very, very hard to do something new. And like the whole time, I was like, what is this? Do I know how to talk on a microphone if I'm not yelling footnotes in the same way every day? But trust, it's working out. It is.
And big shout out to super producer Justin, super producer Brian, all the supers producers.
Becca, Bay, Victor, Anna, everybody.
Because it's a little bit of a heavier lift, and we're still figuring it out as we go. But we're very excited about the two conversations we had for this episode.
Yesterday was kind of more of a trending episode, catch up on all the stuff we missed over the weekend. And this episode, we're talking to different people, people who aren't, you know, the normal comedians or guests that we normally speak to.
Exactly. Other podcasters. Yeah.
Other podcasters. So we're doing kind of a mixed expert and mailbag episode in this first episode to kind of give you guys an idea of the different directions that these episodes can take. So with that in mind, we are going to give you a sample of, we asked you guys, hey, what's something interesting about your job? Like, what's something you learn in your job? What's something people don't understand about your job? What, mm-hmm. you know, just craziest thing you ever saw? And you guys did not disappoint. We got some amazing answers. And so we're going to be sharing those with you and having a few of you on in the coming weeks. But I do, we got one answer that we just have to share with people here up top.
Yeah, so we said, hey, message, hit us up on Discord, on Instagram, wherever we're at us, DM us, whatever. But tell us some wild things about your work. And I'm just going to, this story, this is like one of the first messages I got on Discord. This is from, we'll just call this person. And was just saying, I would like to stay anonymous. Oh, wait, so maybe I shouldn't use your name. But we'll just call this person the doctor. And said, I'm just going to read their DM. It said, I'm in a pretty niche field. So I'm a veterinary pathologist. Basically means I did extra board certification after vet school. Veterinary pathologist equals autopsies on animals to figure out why the animal died and biopsies to diagnose your dog's cancer and such, etc. So
Ace Ventura, pet detective, basically. Right.
So for simplicity's sake, yes, I guess CSI/medical mysteries for animals. But wait. I get even more niche. I specifically subspecialize in wildlife veterinary pathology. Gnarly stuff, but I'm interested in conservation and emerging infectious diseases, so somehow I want to try to make a difference in the world this way. A voice for the voiceless and such. Anyways, weirdest case, because again, we're saying, what's the weirdest or wildest thing that's happened? So this veterinary pathologist says, weirdest case during my residency came at the wildlife diagnostic center I was at. I get 3 bald eagles delivered to me in trash bags found at a landfill. I open the first bag and poof, cloud of white smoke billows into my face. Couldn't help but sniff a bit more. All 3 eagles were covered in this white powder that kind of smelled chemically to me, almost like pool cleaner. I'm taking really good whiffs of the stuff. Can't stop myself. No other interesting findings for any of the 3 eagles in terms of cause of death, but we always look at the organs microscopically too. I'm totally vibing out while performing autopsies on these birds. I have some music playing. It's a Friday afternoon and things are great. If anything, I'm wired. I thankfully thought ahead and collected some vials of the white powder to submit for toxicology testing. I was super productive and necropsied like 5 other animals that afternoon. 3 weeks later, we get the tox reports back. Cocaine. I'm kind of a dweeb in terms of anything beyond weed. So my first and only time doing cocaine has been off of dead bald eagles, you could say. America.
Wow.
Changes that I saw microscopically in these 3 eagles were nonspecific, but technically could be attributed to a cocaine overdose. I guess someone had a hideout spot in the landfill and some poor eagles weren't there for a long time, but a good time. R.I.P. So shout out to, that was one of the first things we read being like, this. What? I don't have nom, any nom, I'm nom, not nom, stories nom, like nom. This.
Yes, please. More of that, daddy. That was so good.
Bald eagles, cocaine covered bald eagles in trash bags. Like I never even thought of that as I feel like an AI couldn't have even generated such a visual than this first story. So,
and people are hiding cocaine in landfills. They're like burying their cocaine in landfills.
The former street chemist in me is like, what are you,
maybe they accidentally threw away a bunch of cocaine.
I wonder if it's like cocaine bear, like cocaine eagle, like,
right,
maybe, like, yeah, maybe someone threw a fucking bale out and like hit a nest or some shit. I don't know, but anyway, yeah. Those are the kinds of stories that we have been getting and we want to continue to get from you all. So please keep writing in, because as we go through these, we're like, oh, yes, we're going to have to talk to this person. Because, yeah, you all do such fascinating things. And all I do is sit down and smoke weed and talk into a microphone. So
an incredibly high bar set from that person, literally, figuratively, amazing work. So we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to actually call
a listener
on the telephone who sent in, you know, let us know some interesting things about their job as a pizza delivery man that we had some follow-up questions for their description of what was happening when they're delivering pizzas. So we are going to be right back and we will talk to Hugo Bosk on the Discord. We'll be right back.
Do you want to hear about the $100 wedding dress that just saved Abercrombie?
Or the tech acquisition that was just like Game of Thrones?
Or the one financial equation that can solve climate change?
Then check out our daily podcast, The Best One Yet, or as we call it, T-Boy.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And we pick the three most interesting business news stories every day for the perfect mix.
20 minutes each morning, you're going to feel brighter.
We call it Pop Biz, don't we, Jack?
Where pop culture meets business news. So whether you want to kick off a conversation with your buddies,
or you're going for that promotion at work,
or you just want to know the trends before your friends,
feel brighter by starting your morning with us every weekday.
Listen to The Best One Yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your pods.
You can listen to The Best One Yet ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts.
With shows like The Best One Yet, How I Built This, and many more, Wondery means business.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hello?
Hugo!
Hugo Boss.
Hey, what up, gentlemen?
As we live and breathe.
Sorry, I'm just going to do this like I do every phone call in a professional setting and open it up with wada.
Oh, man. So we're here with Hugo Bosk.
Again, from the Discord.
From the Discord. Also, I'm guess like I've said before, I think when we've referenced your name from AKA, that you're referencing the bounty hunter, correct?
I am, yeah.
Okay, yes.
Yeah.
Jack, you know all about Bosk, correct?
I wouldn't call myself a Bosk expert, but I definitely am a Star Wars fan for sure.
Okay. I'm sorry, I was shaming our other Star Wars expert, Jack, now asking if he knew all about. No,
I'm just learning. I'm like going through a crash course. But your name when you did a AKA actually brought up like my lack of knowledge of Star Wars and how I'm cramming to try to just keep up in my damn household.
People don't know what a Trandoshan is, Jack. That's the thing. they look like the little lizard-headed people. Anyway, all that to say, here we are. Our first Zeitgang, worker interview. What are we even calling this, Jack?
Yeah, worker interview Zeitgang. I think is it those
whiz.
Words in some order.
W-I-Z. Here to take a whiz, y'all.
Yeah, and you know, we had some people who worked for CERN. We're going to, you know, keep doing this segment. We had some people who like do all sorts of really like highbrow, crazy stuff. But as it is, when I'm making my decision of where to order pizza, we got to go Domino's. You know, doesn't matter what's on offer elsewhere. We got to go Domino's first. But no, Hugo, you wrote in and basically said that being a Domino's pizza delivery driver is a fascinating angle to view the world from. And I'm just curious to hear more about that. What are some things that you are seeing as a pizza delivery guy?
I mean, I think the most interesting thing about it is that you kind of get to experience almost every day, sort of every level of American society in terms of class, in terms of workplace, in terms of age demographic.
Yeah.
I feel like there are a lot of jobs, and I've had many of them, where you sit behind a desk all day, or you stand behind a counter all day, and you just interact with the people in front of you or around you. Mm-hmm. And this job is fascinating in that, you know, you interact with every level of the economic stratum, from people living on the street or in RVs, all the way up to people living in multi-million dollar mansions, and every point in between.
Yeah. Like do people in mansions, do their houses smell like shit? You know what I mean? Like, are you seeing things like that?
One of the things I was very surprised by in the course of this job, because, you know, when you are right at people's front doors, you get to see into at least the open area of a lot of people's homes.
Right.
Right.
And one of the things I was genuinely most surprised by was that very wealthy people are just as filthy as everyone else.
Okay.
Or at least in like the same proportion of like people who like don't take care of their homes versus people who do.
Oh, right. Because in your mind, you're like, this person who surely has this like this gigantic home must take pride in keeping it completely clean or spotless.
Right. And I would think if nothing, they could at least like afford to pay somebody to come around and take care of it.
Sure.
But I regularly deliver to multiple like multi-million dollar homes that are just absolute styes. Just, I don't know if they're hoarders or if they just have just been setting stuff down since they moved in there and never picked up anything since.
Right.
It's too big. The house is too big. They've got too much shit. They can't pick it all up.
Yeah.
I think they probably do hire people to pick it up, and it just, so like they're worse somehow. That's really incredible. Yeah.
They just go right back to it.
Yeah. Especially with the way in which, you know, houses are sort of the closest thing that most people have to a way to retire in this country in terms of like home ownership being the one asset that you're supposed to like take really good care of so that eventually when retired you can sell it off. I don't know if there's some sort of disconnect where they have so much wealth that they just don't have to think about it that way.
Right. Mm-hmm. I feel like wealth, like probably there's some shared mental thing with accumulating wealth and being a hoarder, right? Like you're accumulating an illogical, irrational, immoral amount of wealth. Maybe you're doing the right same thing with objects.
No, Jack, some of these people are just unburdening themselves.
That's right. You just have to unburden yourself.
What other stuff, like what other things do you see? Like what's the wild shit that you see? Because I know obviously on top of, again, like starting from a very foundational level, you're like, you kind of see it all, like doing what I do. But what are the parts that I think, you know, like in my mind, the concept of a pizza delivery person, I'm like, it's either starting off a porno or they right. witness like a robbery or something, things like that. Do you find yourself in situations like that? Or is that just, is that mostly the movie Hollywood brain?
I've definitely seen some strange stuff out there and also just people acting in extreme ways, let's say. There are definitely some people who really don't take it well when you won't give them the thing that they want that you can't actually make.
Right. Like, I feel like I see this all the time. Like, I feel like people just since, you know, 2020 and like all the lockdowns are becoming more just rude to anyone
yes.
in any service capacity or like retail capacity. I'm guessing it's probably no different. Like, does that bleed into even when you deliver? Like, I feel like when someone brings a pizza, you're like, yay, the pizza. Yeah. And do you also get other people like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I will say there's definitely a very marked difference between people who come to pick up carry out versus people that you deliver to. Generally speaking, I've been delivering for like 7 years now because the money is shockingly good for how easy of a job that it is. When you go to people's doors, I think I've only ever had once had somebody was like upset when I got there. And it was because we were insanely busy and I was 2.5 hours late with their food, which that is pretty reasonable to be upset about.
That's got to be a tough.
But what did the tracker tell them?
Well, OK, just to roll in on a little secret with the Domino's tracker. It doesn't actually track anything. It's just a timer.
We heard that. I didn't want to believe it. And the whole podcast has actually been building to this moment where we could actually confirm this reveal. And I don't know what to do with myself at this point. So are the names random? Are the names at least true? Is Brian putting my pizza in the oven?
They do use the real names, although it is... Like, they are somewhat randomly assigning the, like, who is actually putting your pizza in the oven might not be who's actually putting your pizza in the oven and all that.
Right. Yeah. How many people, like, answer the door butt naked?
Yeah, so that was actually one of the things that I was genuinely shocked by with this job is the number of genitals that you end up seeing.
Like, for real, for real.
Yeah, mostly dicks.
What?
Now, I know.
Now I've heard everything. Yeah, you wrote in your thing like more. I've seen more dicks than you'd expect, and I assumed you meant people acting like dicks, not like penis dicks. It's actual penis dicks you're seeing.
Yeah. I mean, I just between when we did the little pre-interview and now, I had another incident, although it was a woman this time.
Wow.
But just somebody coming to the door and wearing a t-shirt and nothing else. And the t-shirt wasn't long enough.
Right. With the. So is
how
that like,
how frequent? Just real quick. Like, how frequently is that happening?
I mean, I've been doing this for about 7 years now. I would say that I've had it happen at this point about 2 dozen times. So maybe like 2 to 3 times a year.
Damn.
So once and every few months.
Is it always on some like predatory shit? Like, are people just trying to like flash you like that, or are some people completely like out of sorts and like, oh shit, I got
I have some theories about this. Part of it I do think is that I live in a place where weed is legal, and you know, we like to blaze up.
Sure.
And I think a lot of people are, as part of their like day off ritual, you know, they blaze up, they maybe grab a shower and order a pizza, they throw on a shirt, and then they come to the door just like so blazed up that they're not thinking about.
Oh, so like you're looking at people like with eyes redder than the state of Arkansas.
Oh, yeah. People with eyes red like stop signs.
Right, wow. Right. Okay. Got it. Because part of me is like, that sucks. Like if you're just also having to contend with just like fucking perverts who are like, thanks for the pizza, man. They're like,
I mean,
fuck.
I will say the very first time it happened, it was a dude who just came to the door just fully nude.
Yeah, that's.
And in fairness to him, I mean, dude had a hammer. Like, I also would not ever wear pants if I was packing what that guy was packing. Like, it was out of control.
Oh, I thought you meant he was wielding a hammer. You're like, in all fairness, he did seem unhinged with a hammer, so I just kept it moving.
Yeah. Somebody shows up at the door naked with a hammer, I'm not going to complete that transaction.
Yeah, right.
But they don't. So there's not a moment where they're like, "Oh my god, I'm so sorry," and like run and put, because that's the thing. Like, I've had like stress dreams, you know, the famous stress dream of like, now you realize you're not wearing pants at like a speech or something. Like, it seems like the sort of thing that could happen to someone as like in a quick moment of like not, you know, being fully aware. But the second you see the person, it feels like you would immediately, but you're saying they complete the whole transaction just poo bearing it, just Donald Duck.
Yeah, just Donald Duck in it.
Wow.
And yeah, I think it's a combination of like, it's people who literally aren't aware of the fact they're, you know, showing junk. And people who I think maybe in a prior era would have been exhibitionists or flashers.
Right.
But as sort of our culture has become more automated and like less, you know, there are fewer third spaces in which to expose yourselves to people.
this is proof we need community.
Yeah. Where I mean, I hate to say it, but in a weird way, I really do think that it is. And so because we have so much more, like so many more services where people are coming right to your door, the opportunity space for people to engage in that kind of, I don't know if you would call it a fetish or just a sex crime, but I think that a lot of it is transferred to the door people of the world, you know, delivery guys like me or like your Amazon guy or what have you.
Right.
Or your Uber Eats, you know, the guy who's dropping off your Starbucks.
Yeah.
However they self-identify.
In every context, I'm always amazed by that, like how many people have that impulse to show everybody their dick. Like when Chat Roulette came online and like that was just all anybody was using it for.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. It is a crime, like the shit obviously shouldn't be doing.
unless you showed up to the dick show. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
I don't think that's a consent thing.
Yeah, and I mean, I always think too about, I mean, you know, we have female drivers, and I always wonder, I've never heard from them that they're doing this. So to an extent, I almost wonder if the fact that they have like the tracker and they can see whose name it is.
Right.
Determines whether they're doing that. This could all just be a Hitchcockian plot to drive me mad. I've considered that.
Yeah.
But who would be behind such a thing?
Yeah, it does seem to happen enough that I'm like, something's up here, right? This must happen to other people.
Right. It can't just be me. Tell me, like, just sort of from, you know, from doing this job, what is like kind of what's the shit that irks you the most about the work or about the what it means to, you know, do the work you do, whether that's in the context of what like people who are interacting with you don't understand or even like the, you know, the fucking business owners of, you know, the franchise don't even understand.
Well, part of it is that the franchisees are extremely cheap, extremely right wing people.
No.
And they don't believe in updating or replacing equipment and other necessary tools in a timely manner. So it's always pulling teeth to get the things out of them that you need from them, sometimes months.
Right. Like what are those, like, so what are those kinds of like those tools that you like that are,
I mean,
you
know, even just basic stuff like uniforms and like replacement kitchen tool stuff, getting things fixed.
Right.
Wow.
Just the most base stuff that you would think would be like part of being a responsible business owner.
Right.
But I mean, these are people who just like they live in a like a compound way, way outside of the city, you know, and just
like siphoning money from this.
Right. And then they just have the managers that they send around to, you know, make sure everything is basically running and collect the checks, so to speak.
Right.
And I suspect that this level of gentry, for lack of a better term, that every like major city and town is full of these kind of people,
mm-hmm.
or rather is. Its power structure is full of these kind of people.
Right. Sure. People are just like, this is just passive money. I just get to sit back and not do this job in any way and make other people's lives miserable, but I'm insulated enough from it that.
Oh, yeah. There was, I worked with somebody whose family were like in the top five franchise owners of Domino's. And like, for the longest time, I was like, what do y'all do? Blah, this, that, and the other. And one of my other friends was like, it's all Domino's money. Like, they have like 70 restaurants, some obscene number of franchises that they just sort of are like, yeah, and that's kind of where all the money comes from. And I didn't, I failed to realize like those sort of mini like fiefdoms of like owning numerous franchises. That's wild. I'm also curious, like, I think, you know, Jack, we were talking about like we kind of want to do overrated and underrated too. About,
yeah, like what's about something job. That you like about your job or like a skill that your job kind of requires or has like given you access to?
I mean, I will say the two most underrated things about the job. One is I get to listen to podcasts all day. And that is, I'll be honest, it's part of the reason it's hard to leave that job. The idea of having to work at a place where I have to like, just my own thoughts and just stand there doing whatever in my head all day instead of just getting to listen to podcasts all day and hand people food change for money. That, I don't know if I can go back, guys. but also, it definitely, and I've had prior jobs that sort of did this to a degree. I worked at a call center for Comcast many years ago. it just sort of forces you to be a level of social that I think a lot of people are no longer forced to be.
Yeah.
Where insofar as you're social, it comes through this extremely mediated interaction where you're like wordway through like a sort of pre-written conversation.
Right.
Whereas at least in the context of being a pizza guy, I mean, the interactions you have often are fairly perfunctory, but they're still realer in a way than any other job that I have because people are always happy to see you.
Yeah.
Nobody pissed off because their pizza has arrived.
Right. Right.
And so you do get to see, sorry, I'm trying to think of like a way to articulate this.
Is it like heartening? It's like life affirming in a way, or is it just more that
in a way, I mean, it is and it isn't. When you asked before about like the thing that is most frustrating about the job, what came to mind was people who don't tip.
Sure.
Right.
Who, as far as I'm concerned, are moral monsters.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 100%. Well, yeah. The way this country operates, like it's incumbent on tipping. Right. For sure. That
and
I think a lot of people
you
don't.
Would think over time I would get more used to it and just eventually stop caring. But if anything, the longer I do the job, the more just every time it just feels like a core betrayal of the social compact.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. I understand the history of tipping and that it was originally instituted for like racist reasons and stuff
of course,
like that.
Yeah. Yeah. After slavery. But yeah. But look at. But here we are now. And now everybody suffers under that shit.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's the thing is at the end of the day, if you can afford to order to your home, you can afford to tip.
Right.
Yeah. It just full stop. It's like going to a restaurant or a bar and then not tipping your waiter or your bartender. Like it's just as rude.
Sure.
Sorry, I want to sound cranky about that. But,
totally.
No, I think it's any. I see all the time people debate this though, like about like I'm not tipping, blah blah blah. And I'm like, do you understand like what the toll it would take on your vehicle if you have to, it's your own car,
right?
And then that there's gas and these other it's not just like, well, that's what they get paid to do. There's all these other parts of a job that I think a lot of people don't understand or really look at it very narrowly as to who does or does not, you know, deserve a tip like in a given industry.
I mean, I do think that there is an extent to which, especially if you don't take the time to pay attention to it, the sort of like logistics behind how everything works are sort of masked for most people. Mm-hmm. And so unless you really spend the time to look into it, you sort of end up with these very almost like magical thinking perceptions of the world. Like based on interactions that I've had with customers, I think there is a substantial percentage of them who think that pizza just comes out of like a magical hole in the wall.
Yeah. Right.
Like people will come in and ask for food and then it'll be like, okay, it's going to be like 10 to 15 minutes to make. And they'll be like, you don't have it ready?
Like the words like, just left your mouth, my dude. Yeah. But yeah, I think it's masked intentionally, right? Like that is more and more the world that we're built into is that everything, like all the behind the scenes stuff, like that's what Amazon puts behind a wall. That's what a lot of these, you know, food delivery services put behind a wall is. And I guess Domino's was at the forefront of that, of just getting rid of any human interaction other than like that quick transactional moment. Like that's what the people who build this system call friction. And they want to like create less friction. And it's like, Right. That's very bleak and also makes us all dumber.
I think that's how they sell it. But to be honest, I think it's a form of oblique union busting.
Right.
That essentially, after the sort of the height of unionism in like the 60s and 70s, capital started to rearrange the actual physical terrain of how businesses are put together in order to prevent unions from rising. Like now, factories are out in the middle of nowhere instead of in a city where they have like a set of third place bars and stuff like that around them where like people can get together after work and talk to their coworkers. Now,
yeah.
You know, if you work at a factory,
yeah,
you're out in the middle of nowhere. You live in a house that's out in the middle of nowhere that you drive 30 miles to, and then you drive back to your house. Everyone is literally atomized in a way that...
Exactly.
I don't want to sound like conspiracy brain about it, because I don't think that it's that. I do think that it's more like aggregate classes acting in their own interests.
Right.
But the asymmetry of power, because they have so much more money and political access, allows them to rearrange that terrain. And I think that that's true with stuff like that masking is just a side effect of that process, I think.
Right.
That if you can't see the labor conditions, then you can't even build the awareness necessary to overcome them.
That's right.
Yeah, for sure.
Why would I worry about this guy who just gets the pizza out of the hole in the wall down the street from me and brings it to me
in a duffel bag?
Takes 20 minutes to get it from the hole in the wall to my mouth. The hell? I always think about there's this anecdote that like London cab drivers have like this superpowered part of their brain that, you know, they have access to just like, and now obviously we have GPS, but like, is there anything that you know better than, you know, people might expect based on?
Yeah, what's the superpower?
You've gained? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely, at least for your delivery area or mine, I suppose, you do get like a perfect mental map after a while, to the point where people can just tell you where they're at in a more general sense. You'd be like, oh, yeah, I know exactly where to find you. Or, you know, all the little like tricks of, oh, this building is impossible to park at, so here's where you have to go instead in order to get to them. And also, you see the insides of lots of places, and people just sort of freely give you the like access codes to their buildings or offices constantly.
Right. Okay.
To the point where I often think about how, like, if somebody wanted to, you know, be like a serial thief,
right,
become a pizza driver, like, people will just give you access to everything. It's wild.
Yeah.
Right. I guess like the sort of your defenses go down because they're like, well, they're only here to deliver the thing and not remember how to get into this bank building.
Well, not just that, but like you almost get treated as like background noise. Like, I have definitely delivered to like business meetings where people are like discussing high level stuff, and I am just not there as far as they're concerned.
Right.
I am just like a Star Wars droid that's just like putting pizzas on the table for them, and that can just be safely ignored.
Right.
Damn. Ocean's 11 needs to hire a Domino's delivery driver to their crew. Domino's cat burglar.
That's just the new way to infiltrate like the Capitol. Just like, oh no, just going to the Rayburn building just with some pizzas to think Senator Schumer's office. And then just like hang out, listen to stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I genuinely wonder sometimes if any like clever foreign power has ever like gotten a guy into the Pentagon by literally just waiting until they ordered a pizza and then intercepting that and sending their own guy in, because I'm sure they can get everywhere.
I've done that all the time where I've been like access controlled buildings, and like you can tell someone's getting like a delivery and you just open the door. You're like, yeah, you're dropping something off. Go ahead. And I never asked. I'm like, I don't know. They had a shopping bag. It all seemed up and up. But one thing I like to ask, right, because I'm a big fast food head and food head in general, it's actually a two-part question. Are the secret codes real at Domino's? And is there a secret menu at Domino's?
I'll be honest. There aren't, as far as I'm aware, secret codes. If there are, nobody's revealed them to me. And I feel like I've been far and away the longest serving person at that store. So if there were, I feel like I would have found out about them by
now. But do you know what I'm talking about? Like there's like these coupon codes people use?
Oh, well, I mean, there are like codes that only we as employees can use that are just for us. But to be honest, I don't know if it varies from franchise to franchise, but the ones that bust, not actually as good as the ones the customers get. Crappier discounts.
Right. They're like, what did we say, Hugo? Three pepperonis on there. That's it. don't lose your shit now.
Insofar as the secret menu goes, there are definitely like combinations of food that we make for ourselves that are not on the menu.
Yeah, okay. Like?
I do like what I've called the heart attack special, which is the Wisconsin three cheese with salami.
Oh,
adding salami onto something called the Wisconsin three cheese. Amazing.
It's and you tuck the salami in under the cheese for the proper layering.
Yeah. Old school Papa John style.
Yeah. And they just debuted that new loaded tots item a little while back. And
pretty
so
good.
We've been experimenting with mixing that with the chicken and doing like a thing where it's like a cheese blend and some bacon, and then doing like a mango habanero sauce drizzle and like some of the regular like hot barbecue sauce combined with that for like a real like good sort of spicy, savory.
Yeah.
Read. It's good stuff. Oh, man. But yeah, you can't really order it. There's not like a way you can be like secretly ordering it off the menu because A, it would be crazy expensive, and B, with like the really good stuff that we make for ourselves there, it would take too long to make for a regular customer. It would take like 20 minutes because we're putting it through the oven multiple times.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Well, one of the things I will, you know, put out there to the listeners as like a good hack for our wings, never let them put them through just once. Always make sure they put them through at least a second time if you're willing to wait.
Well done. Ask for them well done.
What, you like, you ask for it like that way? Like put them through twice.
So the thing is, when you order well done, all we do is just like push it back in the oven, like one like length of the tray back. Mm-hmm. Wings, you genuinely want to wait the extra 10 minutes to like have them put it through a second time if they're willing. Okay. Oftentimes they will not be, just to warn you. Like, don't be surprised if you ask them. Right. They're like, we're not going to do that.
They're like, who the fuck told you that, man?
Yeah, there's a decent chance that's the response you will get.
Yeah.
But if they're cool about it, or if it's a slow day that day,
yeah,
ask them if they will put it through a second time for you, because then the wings actually come out closer to good. Normal. I won't call them great, but
right.
Yeah, I know what you mean, because then they're not, when they're, I feel like slightly undercooked, or not undercooked, like in terms of like they're inedible, I'm like, these could get a little bit more of a cook on them just for taste.
Yeah. Sake. They did used to have an item which I desperately wish they would bring back, and I think they still have it other franchises. A half dip chocolate cookie. Do they have that where you guys are at?
No.
Yeah, that was one that I was a big fan of for a long time. You take one of those, throw it in the microwave for like 10 seconds, and it just comes out just, oh, beautiful.
Amazing.
They should have, I mean, they should have a unified menu with all the states that have legalized cannabis. You know, like, I think that just makes right. sense as a general business practice.
I mean, I'll be honest, I am genuinely surprised that they haven't gone the route of Jack in the Box, where Jack in the Box just openly has its, like, munchy menu, where it's just like, listen, stoners, we are here for you. We know where our business comes from.
Right.
And I feel like enough of Domino's business also comes from that same crowd that it's wild to me that we haven't literally started just being like, hey, guys, we got something for you.
Hey, yeah. Look, weed. You guys like weed, right? We get it. We know. Try this new one out.
All right. Well, Hugo, this has been such a pleasure. We really appreciate you taking the time. This was a blast. I feel both more informed on, you know, your particular job and worse about humanity based on the number of people who are showing you their dicks. But yeah, very thrilled that you are a listener. You're a really smart dude, and it was really great talking to you.
Thank you. And likewise, I just, if I may say, Jack, I've been following since the beginning of Cracked, and Miles, since you started on the podcast. Giant fans of both of you. Just can't thank you enough for all of the hours and hours of entertainment and insight that you all have given me. I just, from the bottom of my heart, thank you guys.
Well,
we are
just as indebted to Zeit Gang for making this a thing that we can continue doing all together. So yeah, it goes both ways. And yeah, we really appreciate you all, especially you for being our inaugural Zeit Gang listener.
I'm genuinely honored by that, you guys. I had no idea. It really, I'm almost welling up. It is genuinely a real honor to be the first.
All right. Well, Hugo, get back to catching those vagabonds out there and get back to your Trandoshan bounty hunting ways.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks. All right, folks. Thank you again to listener Hugo Bosque on the Discord for talking us through.
Yes.
You know, life out there in these streets, delivering the Domino's pizza that everyone craves.
I just didn't even think about when you go to these like restaurants and stuff where everything's behind a wall.
Yeah.
And you absolutely, it just becomes completely obscure. And I really truly never considered the fact of how like taking away that visual of workers working would somehow like, is a very
ghost roundabout way. It's done by ghosts. I wish I had brought that up, but they called it a ghost kitchen. They're like, yeah. It's some mythical character that makes your pizzas for you.
The ghosts of the middle class, actually.
Yes. That's right. Okay, so with the important business out of the way, we also wanted to talk to the theoretical physicist who works on astrophysics and cosmology,
was the, or I think is the Frank B. Baird Jr., professor of science at Harvard University, was the longest serving chair of Harvard's Department of Astronomy, and is the founding director of Harvard's Black Hole Initiative, and also is, you know, open to ideas around, you know, extraterrestrials and like what first contact is going to look like, the sort of thing that you guys have heard me just not be able to stop talking about. I've sometimes said, like, why do we ever talk about anything else? I sometimes wonder. But just a fascinating question, especially right now. You know, we mentioned on yesterday's, you know, weekend catch up, there's been a constant back and forth on UAPs in the media, but recently NASA is impaneling a group of experts to figure out like the best way to assess these UAP phenomena. And they were for instance, there are a lot of metallic orbs hovering around the globe that we have caught on various, you know, cameras that we can't really explain. So we are going to try to, we want to start investing in getting scientific reading, you know, scientific observation of these things.
And it's this isn't something NASA does like ever. They do not.
This is new.
They never wade into the arena of like about UFOs or UAPs or whatever you want to call them. So like it just shows like as more and more of these sort of clips or like videos or anecdotes and things come out about UAPs or observable phenomenon and things like that, it's like more and more agencies are like, hey, maybe we need to talk about this also.
Yeah.
But it's interesting how contentious it is too, because that first meeting, there were a lot of people who were like, what are you guys hiding from us? It's like was kind of the energy from some people.
Of course.
But again, this is because it's around like such a huge like existential question of is it more than this little marble we're on?
Right.
And I think, I mean, like you'll hear me say in the interview, like I can't imagine why we could be alone just given the probability of everything. I'm certainly not thinking like, and it's the only place that's special is here. And I'm the most special one here.
We are the most special little boys in the universe. And yeah, there is one part where I think Avi suggests that the world doesn't revolve around me as an individual. And
we
I
may have cut that out
that.
Because that was one of the most inflammatory things we'd heard on this podcast.
Yeah, we probably cut it, but everybody knows that I disagree with that. But yeah, interesting conversation, interesting time for people who are open to the idea of, you know, UAPs. And we talk about the very specific case of Oumuamua and all sorts of interesting things around that. So we're going to do that right after this break, and we will be back at the end to wrap things up. So we will be right back to talk to Dr. Avi Loeb.
Do you want to hear about the $100 wedding dress that just saved Abercrombie?
Or the tech acquisition that was just like Game of Thrones?
Or the one financial equation that can solve climate change?
Then check out our daily podcast, The Best One Yet, or as we call it, T-Boy.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And we pick the three most interesting business news stories every day for the perfect mix.
20 minutes each morning, you're going to feel brighter.
We call it Pop Biz, don't we, Jack?
Where pop culture meets business news. So whether you want to kick off a conversation with your buddies,
or you're going for that promotion at work,
or you just want to know the trends before your friends,
feel brighter by starting your morning with us every weekday.
Listen to The Best One Yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your pods.
You can listen to The Best One Yet ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts.
With shows like The Best One Yet, How I Built This, and many more, Wondery means business.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible, no hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Avi, thank you so much for joining us.
Dr. Avi Loeb.
Dr. Avi Loeb.
We're not that familiar.
We'll get there in the intro.
You don't need to spend too much time on the intro. You can just call me a farm boy.
Farm boy. Yeah, that's what I was going to do, actually. So I was going to say, this next person is a farm boy who we found on the side of the road to talk to us. No, I've been reading you for a while now, but I want to get people kind of up to speed about who you are and your career. You didn't spend your career thinking about contact with extraterrestrial intelligence, or at least that was not your area of expertise, right? Your area of expertise was black holes. And then you came across some ideas that sent you down this path. So I was just wondering if you could describe your career up to that inflection point and then talk about kind of what those ideas were.
Well, let's start from the beginning. I grew up on a farm and I was mostly interested in the big questions that were in the realm of philosophy. And I thought of becoming a philosopher, but then circumstances forced me to pursue physics because that was the closest to philosophy that I could get while serving in the Israeli military in a special program that allowed me to finish my PhD at age 24 in physics and mathematics. At that point, I said, well, it looks like even though it was an arranged marriage, I'm actually married to my true love because in the context of astrophysics, there are some basic fundamental questions that we can ask about our existence. For example, where did we come from? How did the universe start? So my first projects were about the first stars, the first galaxies. And, you know, the most fundamental question perhaps that we can ask is, are we alone? Is there anyone else out there? And in 2017, October 19th, the first report about an object from outside the solar system was announced. And I did not expect that because a decade earlier, I wrote a paper saying that this telescope in Hawaii, Pan-STARRS, should not find any rocks from other planetary systems like the solar system. We showed that based on what we know about the solar system, the number of rocks per unit volume in interstellar space is so small that the telescope will not find anything. So to me, that was intriguing. But as time went on, this first object appeared to be anomalous. It was given the name Oumuamua, which means the scout in the Hawaiian language. Also, it was pushed away from the sun by some mysterious force without any cometary tail. So to answer your question, this brought me to a new subject that I started working on over the past 6 years, which is the possibility that we are not alone, that there might be technological objects near Earth that were sent by an extraterrestrial civilization far away. Because, you know, just to put things in context, most of the stars formed billions of years before the sun. And it takes 500 million years for spacecraft of the type that we send to space to traverse the entire Milky Way galaxy. So right, they could have made it here. And By the way, this morning, there was a report by a very reputable journalist that interviewed a former government employee who disclosed that the U.S. government has a special section analyzing objects that are non-human in origin and without giving further details. So it's interesting to see how this will unfold. And I should say that I myself established a scientific project called the Galileo Project, where we are searching for such objects. And I'm about to go to an expedition to the Pacific Ocean to search for the relics from the first interstellar meteor, an object that collided with Earth in 2014. That was 4 years almost before Oumuamua was discovered. And the U.S. government confirmed the discovery of this object as being of interstellar origin. So with my student, we were first to identify this object as an interstellar meteor. And the Department of Defense, the U.S. Space Command, wrote a letter to NASA confirming that. And so we are going on an expedition to retrieve the fragments left over from this object, and I can talk more about it.
I had underrated how uncommon it is for an object coming from outside of our solar system. That, like, I assumed that that's where lots of asteroids or meteoroids or, you know, that stuff came from. So can you talk a little bit about, like, how uncommon that is, and, like, are we seeing these things because of better technology? Like, would we have been able to see Oumuamua in the 1980s with the technology we had at that time?
No, only over the past decade we had the technologies to find such objects. So that explains Fermi's paradox, he asked, where is everybody?
Right.
And the answer is, you better use a telescope or check your backyard to find objects that were sent by an extraterrestrial technological civilization. And he simply didn't have good enough telescopes at the time. So in 2005, the U.S. Congress tasked NASA to find 90% of all the objects bigger than a football field, 140 meters in size, that could collide with Earth. These are called near-Earth objects.
Right.
And so the Pan-STARRS Observatory was established in Hawaii for that purpose, to find near-Earth objects. These are, I mean, objects the size of a football field is roughly the sensitivity of present-day telescopes in terms of seeing the reflection of sunlight from an object. You can have much smaller objects, many more of them, but you will notice them because they reflect very little sunlight. And so Oumuamua happened to be one of these near-Earth objects. It was flagged by this telescope without them knowing where it came from. And then they realized it's moving too fast to be bound to the sun, so it must have arrived to the solar system from outside. And that's how it was discovered, completely by coincidence. And the meteor that I mentioned before was found by, again, a set of sensors that the U.S. government put in place over the past decade to look for ballistic missiles, for objects that might risk national security. And, you know, every now and then they see a fireball created by a space rock that collides with Earth and burns up in the atmosphere as a result of the friction with air. And so in 2014, they noticed this object. And with my student, we realized that it was moving too fast to be bound to the sun. And the U.S. government confirmed that. So turns out that this object, if you do the calculation, was actually made of a material this tougher, has material strength larger than all 272 other meteors that came from the solar system in the same catalog that NASA compiled over the past decade. So not only it's the first object that was recognized to come from outside the solar system, but also it was able to maintain its integrity down to the lower atmosphere of the Earth. And so that's the fundamental question. Why are these first interstellar objects, like this meteor or Oumuamua, so unusual, so unfamiliar? And Oumuamua was flat, was pushed away from the sun by some unusual force. without evaporating. And, you know, 3 years after Oumuamua was discovered, the same telescope in Hawaii found another object. And this one was pushed away by reflecting sunlight. It was very thin. It was given the name 2020 SO. There was no evaporation observed. And then a few weeks later, the scientists realized, oh, 2020 SO, this object, actually is a rocket booster that NASA launched in 1966. They could trace back the orbit and figure out that it came from Earth. So we know that 2020 SO is artificial because we made it. The question is, who made Oumuamua? I suggested that it was also pushed away from the sun by reflecting sunlight because it had very thin walls.
Interesting. I mean, a blind spot that's always stuck out to me in terms of like how we conceive of the search for intelligent life and like what first contact would actually be like is just the time horizon of like, it's one of the first things we learn in school is that, you know, humanity's time on this planet has been relatively brief just in comparison to like frilled sharks have been here for 150 million years. And like the Bible was written a few thousand years ago. So we're just a blank, like a, you know, a tenth of a percentage point of that time, like when you're just stepping outside of our species and then you step off the planet and it expands again. And I've heard you say there are lots of stars with good candidates for, you know, like Goldilocks planets or planets that might sustain life that are much older than our star. So we're conceivably just starting out compared to other intelligent life. We're like extremely young for our planet. Our planet is extremely young for potential life-sustaining planets. We're just a blink in a time spectrum that itself is a blink. So for me, it was important context, right? Because it makes me wonder if first encounter we have might be with a species, like a piece of technology or like something that is, you know, more of an archaeological find than, you know, aliens stepping off of a spaceship and asking to be taken to our leader.
Yeah. So, yeah, that, there are two aspects. One is indeed time, and the second is space. Space is huge, and the situation is similar to an ant that surveys the head of a pin and wants to make a statement about the most distant planet in the solar system. This is a very presumptuous ant. That's my point. In terms of space. Now, in terms of time, well, let's just go in logarithmic steps. You know, the appearance of humans, which were a factor of almost 10,000 times more recent than the Big Bang, you know, they represent just the end of the cosmic play. And, you know, we know that we are not at the center of the universe. We know that we came to the cosmic play just at the end. And if you come to a play at the end and you're not at the center of stage, the play is not about you.
Right.
It feels like that's kind of the tension that kind of exists when even discussing things like UAPs or the existence of UFOs and things. I feel like for me, I'm infinitely interested in space and the idea that like, surely this we can't be the only people here just based off of like the probability. But then you go a step further and like when it's discussed in more formal arenas or even scientific places, there's like you start getting accusations about people like saying, oh, like this is for this reason. This isn't because someone is actually interested in the observable science, or there are people who are just reluctant because I think to your point, there's this idea that how could we as human beings not be like, is this not the apex of living intelligence everywhere? And what do you think is that like, is that like sort of the biggest hurdle in terms of like really studying or discussing these things? Does it all sort of relate back to our own sort of sense of self-importance? Because yeah, I mean, like to your point, like we started off thinking like, yeah, everything revolves around us. Like very early on was where we got, and they were like, okay, maybe not. And we're beginning to shed those assumptions more and more.
Like even Fermi's paradox is like, there should be so many life-sustaining planets. Where is everyone? And it's like, well, why aren't they talking to us? What's their fucking problem? Do they think they're better than us? It's like, maybe they're just not interested because we're, you know, I've always thought that was kind of a funny.
Well, the point is that the common sense is not common. And what I mean by common sense is that we should not have an opinion. We are talking about the reality that we live in. And it's not a matter of having an opinion, whether we have a neighbor in our cosmic street and whether the neighbor is this or that relative to us. That's not a matter of opinion. We, of course, can have long conversations about our opinions, but the better approach is to look for evidence. We just need to step outside to our backyard and see if there are any tennis balls or other objects that came from the cosmic street. Mm-hmm. That's an easy thing to do. We have the instruments for that. And, you know, in terms of waiting for a phone call from a neighbor at home, yeah, listening for radio signals just because we are transmitting radio signals, instead of doing that, we better check our mailbox, whether there are any packages that arrived there, because the sender may not be alive. Waiting for a phone call is really not a valid approach if those civilizations are dead by now, most of them.
We've been talking a lot on the show about UAPs, like, seen closer to the planet. You know, there was that's become more of a journalistic mainstream, if not a scientific mainstream. But, you know, 60 Minutes had the story about the Nimitz sighting off of the aircraft carrier. And I think you've mentioned these UAPs in the context of, you know, this new NASA panel that is going to be looking to try and explain what these metallic orbs are, and the Galileo project trying to kind of eliminate or like offer scientific explanations for what these things are. But can you just talk a little bit about how you encounter these intellectually, like these UAP sightings that are more... Like, I think I read that you had a pilot on who had a photograph of like a cigar-shaped thing that was spotted over Spain, but it's not something that you can take into a lab or, get data on. So just how do you think about that as you're having these parallel inquiries into Oumuamua and the other meteoroids?
Well, Oumuamua and the meteor that I mentioned at the beginning, they were observed by scientists, by scientific instruments that are monitoring the sky. And the data is of high quality. It's believable. It was published in peer-reviewed journals. This is the way science is done. If you look at the UAP reports, they are all based on anecdotal evidence where people, by chance, found some evidence for things that were not expected. And that's very different because, first of all, they were using instruments that are not calibrated, are not under control. We cannot tell exactly, you know, whether it was perhaps the malfunction of the instruments, perhaps these were optical illusions, perhaps, you know, the distance was not assessed correctly. So an object moving close to you can appear to be moving very fast if you are thinking that it's far away. And so that's the problem with past data, that you can't really verify it. You can't go back to these events and examine the circumstances and try to get better data. And what the Galileo project is doing, this project aims to assemble new observatories that monitor the entire sky 24/7 with infrared, optical, radio, and audio sensors. And then we analyze the data using artificial intelligence software to classify objects, to distinguish between natural objects like birds from human-made objects like drones, balloons, airplanes, and see if there is anything else. And this is the first systematic, not anecdotal, study of objects in the sky. And that's extremely important because by monitoring the sky continuously, you can tell how rare are anomalous objects, how anomalous they are. And because you understand your instruments, you can figure out their properties very well.
Okay, well, we do have to let you go, but I just want to get you to promise me here that if you do find evidence of extraterrestrial intelligence, that you come on this podcast and break that news here. Could I just get that real quick from you?
I'll be delighted. I feel like
this is the place to do it.
You know, in my last class at Harvard, I asked the students, if you were to find a gadget, let's say in the expedition to the Pacific Ocean, and it has buttons on it, would you press a button?
Hell yeah, final answer.
Oh yeah, yes. How many buttons? So, Abhi? Are they light? Do they light up?
Is it like Simon?
So half of the students said no, because right. we are worried about what will happen to our body, to humanity, and so forth. Half of the students said, yes, we are curious. We would like to know what will happen. And then one of the students asked me what I would do. And I said, well, you know, I would treat it like an intelligent animal that suffered a trauma, and I have to bring it to the laboratory to examine it before I engage with it physically. So
bring it on this podcast. Yeah.
No, that all if you sense. Want to press a button, if you're willing to press a button, yeah, maybe I'll bring
we'll
it to
We'll do it live on the show. It'll be huge for our numbers.
He's brought the recovered artifact to the show. Jack and I are about to press the button, everybody. And then a black hole appears.
Well, this was a really interesting conversation. We really appreciate you taking the time. We're looking forward to seeing how things go in the Pacific. Good luck.
Thank you so much. And I will keep a diary on medium.com. If you just want to follow what happens there, look for, search for Avi Loeb, AviLoeb, at medium.com, and you will find my diary reporting back what we find over there.
Great. All right. Well, good luck. Godspeed. Thanks for doing the show. We appreciate you.
My pleasure.
And that was our interview with Avi Loeb. Miles, what a first crack at these special, weirdly formatted episodes. Again, can't thank the super producers of this podcast enough for helping us try some new things out.
Yeah. And please keep hitting us up with just anything. I mean, like, even if you have an interesting job, like, we're hearing all kinds of, like, celebrity animal wrangler. This is wild, the kinds of things that we're hearing.
The
so
phones
please.
Are lighting up, Miles.
Yes, the proverbial phones are blowing up right now. But yeah, again, I think it's so interesting just to hear from people doing the shit that they do than just, you know, screaming into the void all the time. So please join us on this journey. We have
or
a lot of
if you're
of
a professional void screamer, I'd love to hear about that.
You know? Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
sounds like a Let great us know. Time. Miles, where can people find you and follow you?
Oh, well, you can follow me at all at based life form symbol. What am I trying to say? Find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. Okay. And I'm also on PlayStation Network, Miles of Gray. If you see me on there, try and, you know, step to me on FIFA, or maybe we can team up on Red Dead Revolver Redemption, because I really want to do that again. Also, find Jack and I on our basketball podcast, and Miles and Jack on Mad Boosties. And man, shout out the Heat.
Shout out the Heat.
I was
indeed.
Like, okay. So look at Spo making adjustments. What's that, man. Like, Darvin Ham?
So good.
And what else? Find Sophie Alexander and I on 420 Day Fiancé, which will be back just better than ever this week, along with the new season of 90 Day that just premiered on Sunday.
Amazing. Is there a work of media you've been enjoying?
Honestly, the works of social media I've been enjoying are all the people that have tagged me or DM'd me or added me with their super interesting lives. And as much as I'm like, yeah, I got shit to talk about on a podcast, I'm like, this is fucking great. So yeah, please keep talking to us. Please interact with us, because we love hearing from you. That is what I'm fucking with on social media.
You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. And a tweet I've been enjoying is just somebody tweeted two videos of owls and said there are two types of owls. And owls apparently run very funny, or walk around very funny. They like walk like they are cartoon characters trying to sneak around. And then in another video, an owl like literally like Kramers into frame, like does the like run slide in. Owls are cool. That's the media I've been enjoying. The
simple.
Good old fashioned media of owls. It's
how'd they get their eyes like that? Have you seen them without feathers? It's kind of like, it's probably like seeing James Harden without the beard.
Yeah, it's scary.
It's like a little bit like, oh, okay.
The person who posted it is why you should have an animal on Twitter. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. Where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Miles, is there a song that we think people might enjoy?
Yes, this is, there was a cover of Do For Love. What you won't do for love. But it's by Snow Allegra. But then this is the remix by Black Coffee. So this is the Black Coffee remix of Do Number 4, Love. with Snow Allegra on vocals. So check this one out. It's very, I just love that song. And that melody is just so, I don't know, like the first time I actually heard it was when Tupac sampled it when I was like a adolescent. And then ever since then, I got into like the real version and every other cover. So this is like a great, like darker sort of ambient cover. That's really dope. So check this out. Do for Love, the Black Coffee remix.
Amazing. We will link off to that in the footnotes. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for us this morning. Back this afternoon to tell you what is trending. And we will talk to you all then. Bye.
Bye.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off. Starts Friday and open Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.